The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, April 10th, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Autism Awareness Month, Sharing Resources Support with Leo's Impact. Free Expo to be in honor of Leo's life. By Matus Janik. Normal. At 9 months old, Leo Egbers was not making eye contact, and when he was 2 years old, he could only say a handful of words. He was so funny, very smart, and we suspected he had autism early on just because he wasn't talking, said Leo's mother, Viviana Egbers of Bloomington. We have family friends around his age, and they were talking. I actually thought then that maybe I was mistaken, and then the process to actually get the diagnosis took a while. Although they had an evaluation, it was never specified whether Leo was on the autism spectrum, his parents said. Autism spectrum disorder is a condition related to brain development that can affect how a person perceives and socializes with others, causing problems in social interaction and communication. It can also include specific interests and repetitive behavior, according to the Mayo Clinic. For a boy who just didn't really speak, he was filled with so much joy and he felt loved, said Austin Egbers, Leo's father. He had his own way of communicating with us that was special. Austin and Viviana Egbers were faced with long waiting lists for assessments and treatment, finding themselves driving to 3 different clinics for speech, motor, and behavior therapies, yet they still had no official diagnosis and no support. Like some children with autism spectrum disorder, Leo was prone to wandering, and his parents said he was also drawn to water. On May 17, 2024, Leo left the house without anyone knowing and drowned in a neighborhood lake. He was just so full of life, and even though he couldn't talk, he would tell you what he wanted, regardless of his communication skills, Viviana said. I just want him to be remembered as a beautiful child who didn't get to live long. As a way to provide more resources, guidance, and hope, the Egbers family and Lifelong Access are hosting a free event Thursday in honor of Leo's life. Leo's Impact, an Autism Awareness Expo, will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. April 10th at Lifelong Access's main office, 2000 Jacobson Drive in Normal. James Rivera, Director of Marketing and Sales at Lifelong Access, said this event is a way to bring together families who are struggling and who feel like they are alone. The organizers at Lifelong Access, an organization that provides services for kids and adults with developmental disabilities, want to be able to erase the unsurety and make people feel confident and comfortable through the hurdles that come with doctor's offices and waiting lists, Rivera said. Autism is so polarizing for so many families, to where they feel like they're by themselves and they're trying to navigate so many different things to help their child out, which all parents want to do. We're having an expo so that people can learn together about what is out there to help them to navigate the resources, Rivera said. We want this to be a place where people can feel safe, comfortable, and understood because they'll be around other people who are dealing with the same types of things. The expo will have an open house format, free to the public, with several other community organizations participating, including Autism McLean, Bloomington Public Library, Bloomington Police Department, Central Illinois Special Hockey Association, Chestnut Health Systems, Children's Discovery Museum, Eastview Christian Church, Gingerbread House Toys, HEAL Foundation, Illinois State University Communication Sciences and Disorders Program, Illinois Wesleyan University School of Nursing and Health Sciences, OSF Autism Pathways, Pet Therapy Alliance, That Kid Plays, The Baby Fold, The Penguin Project of McLean County, Bloomington Normal YMCA. The Leo's Impact Expo also coincides with Autism Acceptance and Awareness Month, which continues throughout April. Rivera said families will be able to talk with different organizations and leave with different support materials and even toys to help navigate autism spectrum disorder. Again, this is about making people feel like they're not alone and that this is a place to come together and learn together, Rivera said. Members of Leo's family also established Leo's Library Fund in September to honor his life and support the distribution of resources for families navigating disabilities and developmental delays, including autism spectrum disorder. Viviana Egbers said they are looking into scholarship opportunities for children and their families who cannot afford certain services or programs, and help with other items like assistive technology for communication, different books, and sensory toys. Some of these things are going to be in his library at the event as well, and we're still trying to figure out what else we can add, Virginia said. The family also wants to draw attention to bodies of water in the community and prevent any further incidents from happening in the future, regardless of a child's diagnosis or lack thereof. He was such a happy and precious, innocent boy filled with life, Austin Egbers said. Visit lifelongaccess.org/get-involved/Leo's-library to learn more about the expo and Leo's Library Fund. The next local story is entitled, Illinois State University, Charlie Kirk Draws Mixed Crowd. About 750 turn out at ISU to hear, jeer, conservative activist. By Drew Zimmerman. Normal. Hundreds of Illinois State University students greeted conservative political activist Charlie Kirk when he appeared on campus this week to debate topics ranging from population decline in blue states to cannabis legislation to global conflicts. ISU Police Chief Aaron Woodruff said at one point during Kirk's Tuesday visit, there were about 750 people outside the Bowen Student Center for the free event, which was part of Kirk's American Comeback Tour. The visit kicked off at noon with Kirk and his team distributing souvenirs, including hats embroidered with the number 47, signifying President Donald Trump's status as the 47th president. The Q&A portion of the event began somewhat controversially as a protester dressed in a goat mask and a red robe took to the microphone. The stunt was met with profanities from the crowd and Kirk saying he wouldn't answer questions from a Satanist. However, most students whose viewpoints opposed Kirk's asked their questions without issue. Kirk challenged one student, asking why Democratic-controlled states were experiencing out-migration and why their populations were heading to states like Arizona, Texas, or Florida. Illinois lost well over a million people in the last decade, Kirk said. In fact, every 9.5 minutes, someone leaves the state of Illinois. However, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, the population of Illinois recorded in 2010 was 12,830,632, and in 2020 it was 12,812,508. This decrease of just over 18,000 residents represents a percentage change of 0.1%. Kirk said the trend of declining population predated Republican Governor Bruce Rauner's term. Maybe people are voting with their feet because states like Illinois and California and New York are so terribly run with high taxes and bloated pension systems, Kirk said. Illinois' unfunded pension liabilities reached roughly $144 billion by the end of 2024, according to the Illinois Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability. Other attendees questioned Kirk's stances on abortion, cannabis legalization, and the Israel-Hamas war. Mikey Kurofsky Jr., an accounting and business analytics major at ISU, said he's not a very political person, but he wanted to attend the event for the unique experience and was surprised by the number of spectators. It's a great turnout, and a lot of our friends are here as well, so we just wanted to have a good time, Kurofsky said. Kurofsky was joined by biology major Ian Sager-Held, who, like Kurofsky, heard about the event on Instagram and wanted to see how both sides interacted. Hopefully it stays peaceful, Sager-Held said. But not all attendees who were there to ask questions or show their support. A group of students near the back of the crowd protested Kirk's appearance with signs reading, "America has no king," and "Zero tolerance for anti-Semitism," among other messages. Kirk's American comeback tour headed to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign from ISU, and its next stop will be Purdue University in Indiana. Next, we have a State of Illinois story headlined, "Estate Tax Relief Faces Uphill Slog. Budget Pressure Hinders Change Backed by Farmers," by Brendan Moore. Springfield. In remarks at an event kicking off the annual Lobby Day for the state's agriculture industry in the Illinois Capitol, State Senator Andrew Chesney, Republican of Freeport, expressed delight in the generally bipartisan nature of legislative initiatives pertaining to farmers. "In the Senate Agriculture Committee, we've done a pretty good job, in a bipartisan way, of working together," Chesney said. But with Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker seated in front of him, Chesney turned to a point of contention: Illinois' status as one of 12 states with an estate tax. "You cannot say you support family farms and allow a regressive estate tax to be in place in the state of Illinois," Chesney said. Chesney then urged Pritzker to support a stalled legislative effort by State Representative Sharon Chung, Democrat of Bloomington, and State Senator Dave Kohler, Democrat of Peoria, to raise the estate tax exemption for family farms from $4 million to $6 million. Pritzker and Chesney had a brief exchange after Chesney concluded his remarks. "I said, actually, to Senator Chesney as he came off the stage, that I'm happy to talk about it. He just has to tell us how we're going to pay for it," Pritzker told reporters after the event. "It's a few hundred million dollars of revenue to the state. So if he's able to come with his ideas about how to pay for it, then we ought to talk about it." Pritzker's comments were a stark reminder of the challenging budget cycle confronting state lawmakers as growth in traditional revenue streams like sales tax and income tax slow, and uncertainty reigns supreme over the amount of federal funding that will be delivered to the state for programs like Medicaid. The governor's top staff telegraphed to lawmakers in November that any legislative proposal with a fiscal impact would be heavily scrutinized. And in his budget address in February, Pritzker directly warned lawmakers that if you come to the table looking to spend more, I'm going to ask you where you want to cut. After an unrelated event Tuesday, Pritzker told reporters, "People aren't showing up at my door with proposed cuts. But then again, I think they understand that any increases that they're going to propose, whatever it is that I'm signing, we're going to have to make this budget balance," Pritzker said. The effort to shield farm families from some of the financial burden of state estate taxes has bipartisan support. Chung and Kohler first unveiled their proposal last year, but it was ultimately not among the tax code changes included in a massive revenue package that passed alongside the state's fiscal year 2025 budget. Currently, deceased farmers' surviving family members must pay taxes on the entire estate if it is valued above $4 million. Under the proposal, this threshold would increase to $6 million and would be adjusted annually for inflation. Additionally, farms valued above the threshold would be exempt from the first $6 million in estate taxes. The proposal is meant to help operators of small family farms, which often fall into a land-rich, cash-poor category, in which the modest income they make from farming does not reflect the immense value of the land they possess. This means that when a farmer dies, his or her family is often saddled with hundreds of thousands of dollars in estate taxes. Kohler told Lee Enterprises last year that he anticipated the concept would be part of the next year's budget discussions. However, the identical bills filed in the House and Senate have not moved. Chung told Lee Enterprises on Wednesday that they were still working on it. She noted that any change would not have a fiscal impact in the 2026 budget. Advocates for agriculture, including hundreds of FFA members adorned in their signature blue embroidered jackets, packed the Capitol on Wednesday for their annual lobby day. They discussed issues pertaining to agriculture with legislators and presented them with baskets filled to the brim with agricultural products. Next, we have another agriculture-related story from the front page, headlined, "Farmers Fear Toll of Tariffs. China Put 34% Tariffs on All American Products," by Josh Funk, Associated Press. Omaha, Nebraska. Heading into this year, most U.S. farmers hoped to break even or maybe record a small profit if they could find a way to limit their sky-high costs. Now they face losing the biggest export market for many of their crops after China retaliated against President Donald Trump's tariffs. "There's just not any margin for error in the current farm economy," said Kentucky farmer Caleb Ragland, who serves as president of the American Soybean Association. Soybean and sorghum farmers have particular reason to worry because at least half of those crops are exported, and China has long been the biggest buyer. China also bought a lot of American corn, beef, chicken, and other agricultural products, spending $24.65 billion last year. Now, with China slapping 34% tariffs on all American products Friday, on top of other tariffs it imposed earlier this year, all of those products will be significantly more expensive in China. Crop prices, much like the stock market, dropped after Trump announced his tariffs last week. Tim Dufault, whose farm is in northwest Minnesota, only about 80 miles south of Canada, said in a good year, soybean farmers might make $50 to $75 an acre. This isn't a good year because crop prices aren't high enough to cover soaring costs, and the price drop over 2 days last week cost them about $25 an acre, he said. Dufault said he is worried the new tariffs might put many farmers out of business, including the young farmers he rented his land to heading into this year as he retired, because they likely won't make anything in 2025. I just hope to God they can stay in business, said Dufault, who is active with the Farmers for Free Trade group that pushes for open markets. One of the biggest long-term concerns is that American farmers and ranchers will lose market share as China turns to Brazil and other countries to buy the soybeans, beef, chicken, and other crops it consumes. China buys lots of sorghum because it is distilled into the drink baijiu that is as popular there as whiskey is in the U.S., but will get it from other countries. Farmers endured Trump's previous trade war with China during his first term. This time, Trump's tariffs extend around the globe, so China likely won't be the last country to retaliate with tariffs of its own. The only way most farmers survived Trump's last trade war was with tens of billions of government aid payments. But it's not clear if he will do that this time. He gave them more than $22 billion in aid payments in 2019 and nearly $46 billion in 2020, though that year also included aid related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins told Fox News this past week that right now she doesn't believe massive aid payments will be necessary, though she won't know that for several months. But if it is, then this president has always said, and he is resolute in his commitment to our farmers and our ranchers and our great rural communities in America. So we will make sure we're ready if, in fact, that is necessary, she said. But none of us like that, said farmer Andy Heineman, vice president of the Kansas Grain Sorghum Producers Association. We don't want to live on government handouts. We'd rather sell the crops we grow. Farmer Brian Kage, part owner of Kage Farms in Amity, Missouri, said he doesn't have a lot of faith that these tariffs, the way they are laid out today, will stick around long term. He also doesn't like the idea of getting aid from the government. I really hate that seems to be the solution that, well, we'll just pay farmers some just off-the-cuff payment to help offset this, Kage said. I think a federal government that's vastly overspending today like this is not the way to solve that problem. Farmers hope Trump's tariffs will lead to negotiations with other countries that will lower tariffs and other trade barriers. That's the type of positive development that we can do that's good for everybody involved, and that's what we need to look for, Ragland said. Instead of beating each other up with higher and higher tariffs, it's just like punching each other in the face. We're not going to gain anything from it. It's just going to cause us to hurt. That would be my encouragement to the administration, to look for opportunities and get some deals done proactively. And here is a local story entitled, Bruise at the Zoo, Planned for June 7th, by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. The Miller Park Zoological Society will host the annual Bruise at the Zoo fundraiser from 3 to 8 p.m. Saturday, June 7th at the zoo, 1020 South Morris Avenue, Bloomington. The event is for those 21 and over and features samples of craft beer from local and regional breweries, along with sangria and food from local restaurants. Guests will also have the opportunity to experience zookeeper talks and see the animals. Participating breweries include Keg Grove, Fiala Brothers, Distill, Lil Beaver, White Oak, Casper Brewing Company, Limerick Brewing Company, Tree Hive, Unpossible Mead, Three Floyds, and War Pegs, USA Brewing, Analytical Brewing, Blind Pig, Industry Brewing Company, and Eris Brewery and Cider House. Participating restaurants include Blono Pizza Company, Bonchon, Chi Express, DP Dough, Fort Jesse Cafe, Hacienda Leon, Outback Steakhouse, Pizza Paya, Redbird Catering, Parkview Inn, Shake It Up, and Rice and Spice Indian Grill. Early bird tickets are $40 through May 10th, with general admission at $45 from May 11th to June 7th. Tickets include zoo entry, souvenir tasting glass, 4 drink samples, and 2 food samples. Tickets can be purchased online at mpzs.org/brews-at-the-zoo. Additional sampling and food drink tickets can be purchased at the event with cash or card. The online store will be available until noon, June 7th. Funds raised from the event will go toward new and renovated habitats for the zoo animals. Call Stacy Wallen at 309-434-2816 for more information. And here's a road closure notice. GE Road, Bloomington. Milling operations are scheduled to begin Friday, April 11th on General Electric Road. The work will span from east of Keaton Place to east of Leslie Drive in Bloomington. The street will be open to traffic, but motorists are encouraged to use alternate routes until the project is complete. GE Road will be fully reopened as soon as work is complete. The work is necessary to prepare for resurfacing and other related road work, according to a news release from the City of Bloomington. The road work on GE Road is expected to be finished by the end of July. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for April 10th. Please stay tuned.